Hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And before you sit down, give somebody a hard time by saying, I love you. Oh, thanks. Yeah, praise God. And you may be seated. You know, God is moving today. And he was moving yesterday. And he was moving the day before. And most of us didn't know it. Because we're not tuning in to the spiritual realms. We're tuned in to the physical. And we're so caught up in what's going on and when's God going to come back that we have missed the spirit of what's happening right now. And the Spirit of God is moving upon this earth and is trying to find a few people that want to be in the remnant. And he's still looking because God's people are very complacent. Somebody should say, heck no. Okay, that's good, because the lukewarm church, it better not be in here, because we've kicked all the lukewarm out and asked them to go to the other churches. And anyway, so if you're still here, you must be on fire, right? I see you. Okay. I get to do the Haftarah, or the prophets, on each Sabbath, and this week, we've got a very difficult situation. It's called Gog and Magog. It's in Ezekiel 38 through 39, 16. And everything I've seen on the teaching of Gog and Magog is very literal. The enemy from the north is going to come down and invade Israel. And we, everything I found, I could not find one spiritual teaching on this. Everything is the same. And the people from the north are either China or Russia or both. And they come down and they hire Islamic nations like Syria and Iraq to attack Israel. And that's what they're claiming is happening someday. But Ezekiel wrote this as if it was happening right now. And I want to cover a few things. I want to cover some concepts. There's a concept that I made up called intrinsic spiritual thinking, because I couldn't find anything better, versus a concept that is part of psychologists' training and teaching called concrete thinkers. And concrete thinkers, we'll get into that. A concrete thinker needs answers. It needs a reality base. That's how all of us are raised. Every one of you were raised as concrete thinkers. That's how all of us are raised. A child believes the literal. Have you ever grabbed a little baby's nose and say, I got your nose? And they're like... I've even had them crying, my nose, I want my nose. Because we're very literal, and God has raised us to be humans. And most humans are born of flesh. And when we're born of flesh, we have to have this reality-based thinking, this what's called concrete thinking. And a child needs to know the reality of life. Like, are we there yet? So... Have you ever gone on a trip with your kids or when you were a kid? We lived in San Diego, and Orange County was where Knott's Berry Farm was and Disneyland. And it took us about 2 hours to get there, depending on traffic. And we would leave San Diego, and 10, 15 minutes later, my sister and I were both in the back seat going, Dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We need to know. We need to know. And this is the way we're raised, because... we're still needing to know, and this is why the most popular churches are those that fulfill the immaturity of needing to know. Needing to know. That's why we don't teach the God who is, we teach the God who is to come. And what's become very popular is pre-trib escapism, pre-tribulation. And these are all things that I want to cover. So the second coming is one of the concepts of what I believe is reality-based. We're still immature. We can't live on intrinsic beliefs or spiritual beliefs. We have to have a concrete answer. We need to know. And this is what our body of Christ is all about today. And right now, I believe there are people like me all over the world who are teaching people to think beyond the scope of reality and into what we can't see. Because God says faith is in what we can't see is reality. That's what's real. The reality base is just speculation, but what's real is our faith. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence, meaning it's the reality. It's concrete. But yet we still believe in the concrete concepts of reality. And so let me cover a few things. Those that preach the answers to this, are we there yet, Daddy, are popular because they have a hard time walking into and teaching people real faith. Real faith is a concept that's very difficult to walk in because it's sort of like, oh, gee, am I really saved? There isn't one piece of evidence that you can prove that you're saved. You can't pull out your wallet and say, yeah, God sent me a license here, says I'm saved. I got a kick. I was talking to a bunch of pastors the other day, and I said, the one thing about being a pastor is you go to college, you graduate, and they give you this card. And this card says, you are licensed to proclaim the gospel in your belief system, your doctrine. And then it says at the very bottom in fine print, you know all the answers. And that's why pastors have a hard time learning something new, because they've been taught they know everything. Before I came into this Sabbath walk, there were people that came to me in the hospital. I spent a long time with my colon surgeries that I was in the hospital a lot, and there were people that came in the hospital, and they really tried to help me understand that God doesn't change and who changed everything and bring me into this Sabbath walk. And I was like, no way. I know, I'm a pastor. I know everything. I know Jesus did away with it. I know Jesus, and the question, the answer was, oh, so you serve the God that changed everything? It's like, oh my gosh. You know, the guy's putting words in my mouth. So after I beat him up and kicked him out of my hospital room, he had the audacity to come back the next day. And so we prayed about it, and that's where we began to understand this walk of faith, a walk of faith. Do you believe that God's going to take care of you? Are you afraid that if you don't get the vaccine, or if you do have the vaccine, that certain realities are going to hit and you might lose your job, and there's prophecy of a coming plague upon the earth and a famine upon the earth, and real estate market's going to go through the toilet? Wow, that sounds pretty scary to me. You know, and I don't have faith because I have fear. And fear overcomes faith. Unless you're walking in the Spirit of God, and faith will always trump fear. Faith will overcome fear if you walk in the covenant of God. And God is calling His people to walk in covenant, walk in faith. And I think it's time we have, look at somebody and say, do you have real faith? I mean, don't just hear from me, hear from the guy next to you. Our amateur mindset is wanting to know everything about the future instead of walking in the faith of God, of the God of who is. The God of who is the God that gives you faith. The God of who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of who is the God that I serve right now. I don't serve the God of who is to come, because the Bible says what is a secret is God's. And what is being revealed, and God has told me just very clearly that He has revealed more in the last 50 years than He has in the last 500. Because the Spirit of God is coming to the point that the bride needs to be strong. The bride needs to walk in faith. The bride needs to understand that there's one God, and that God is calling you to walk in the spirit of faith. So praise God. And this is pretty heavy. In Devarim, or Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things which are hidden belong to Yahweh or Elohim, but the things that have been revealed belong to us and our children forever, so that we can observe all the words of the Torah. I don't want to hurt or offend you or burst your bubble, but the fact is, do we know what's going to happen tomorrow?
No.
I don't care how many prophets in the name of Jesus tell you when we're going to be raptured. I mean, when I was a kid, or many years ago, there were several prophets around the United States that said God's going to rapture in 1988. Okay. The Bible says that if a prophet prophesies and it's false, then you need to take him out and stone him. But before you stone him, you need to take everything that's been spilled on you and clean your body and lay hands on this person. What I'm saying is, when there's a false prophet, why don't we just stone them out of our mind? Why do we still keep believing? Because half of those guys said it wasn't 88, it was 98. And then 98 came and we didn't get raptured. Okay, so when are we going to get raptured? The point is, These are the secret things. If they're secret, guess who doesn't know the answer? We don't know when he's going to come back. I know God's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to either come back and take us, or he's going to come back and encourage us. But the fact is, it's still a secret. But what has been revealed is the God who is, and it's not a secret, it's been revealed. But the things that have been revealed belong to you. Somebody say, praise God. They're mine. And our children, praise God. And your seed, your children, for how long? For a couple of days? No, forever, so that we can observe all the words of the law of God, the Torah. And the Torah is not law, it's teaching and instruction. God doesn't change. And God is calling out people that have a heart for God and want to serve him with all their heart, all their mind, and love their neighbor as yourself, because God is going to let you know that, and what's being revealed is going to be revealed to all people that hear his voice. If we walk in that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that spirit is going to call upon us. That spirit, and that's why Yeshua said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my commands. My sheep walk in obedience. My sheep are mine. And I know them and they know me. Praise God. That's why Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Because we were playing church and doing all the good things. But does God really know us? And when you make covenant with God, your heart is his. Yesterday we had a teaching on prayer. We broke into groups. We were about six people in groups. And I thank them afterwards for letting me hear their hearts. Because this is what Messiah hears when we pray and when we cry out to him. I love Egypt when they're in captivity, because God said, and I finally heard their cries. When you cry out to God, when you cry out to God, when you cry out to God, your innermost heart belongs to him. And the secret things belong to our Father. Praise God. So I don't worry about tomorrow. I get upset when somebody wants to teach the rapture. I said, don't teach the rapture. Teach something that's real right now. Teach something that you can walk out of here with something in your hand. Walk out of here with faith. Oh, I can see it. I got faith in my hand. Matter of fact, I got it in my pocket. Matter of fact, it's in this pocket. Matter of fact, it's all over me. Because faith is something. I love Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a substance, meaning the proof, the reality of things not seen. Praise God. Is Jesus going to come back for you someday? Faith not seen. Is your family in his hands? Faith not seen. Are you going to walk in obedience and God's covenant the rest of your life, all the days of your life? Faith not seen. And when we realize that faith not seen is the evidence or the proof that I need, it backs up my immaturity, my reality, my concrete thinking. And we want to know all the secret things. We want to know all the answers. We want to know how to be in the driver's seat. But God said he's in the driver's seat, and we need to be in the back seat and shut up. Because God said, if you be still, if you be silent, he will do all things and he will protect you. Praise God. Exodus 14:13. Okay, thank you. Anyway, as Christians, we are taught to believe the literal. That's why it's so hard to accept the real spiritual concept, like eternity. You can't really comprehend eternity. You know, we try 10,000 years and we're still singing praises. 10,000 times 10,000 and we're still there. And the Bible says we're praising God forever. So why wait till then? Why don't you start praising God forever now? Because Paul says pray without ceasing. That prayer is just a reality check with God. Prayer is just communicating with God. Praise God. So new bodies, you know, whatever that means. Last night I was preaching and we were up there for an hour and my right knee gave out. And I had to hold on to the stand because I was going to fall. My right leg was giving out. Anyway, I couldn't walk last night after we left here. But we're, you know, heaven, eternity, new bodies is very difficult to understand the spiritual elements of God. But you know what? God gave us faith that we are his. Anyway, here we go. Spiritual concepts. This half Torah portion, I'm just now getting into it, is Gog and Magog. And we need the answers. I mean, what is Gog and Magog? You know, the bottom line is we don't know. We don't know if Russia and China are going to come together, if they're going to invade Israel. We don't know that. But But yet we teach it, and that's what I said. Every research that I found on Gog and Magog, everyone, both in Judaism and Christianity, have taught that Gog and Magog are realms of death that come in from the north, probably Russia and China. And a mature believer can see another side. A mature believer, the one that's not saying daddy over there yet, a mature believer that's walking in faith can see another side, which I call intrinsic spiritual thinking. It's part of a intrinsic spiritual thinking transformation, being transformed. Let's see. The word intrinsic, it's an adjective. It's relating to the essential natures of a thing of inherent nature, meaning the reality, the real reality that maybe we can't see is our inherent nature. And the reality is we need to start thinking more and more in these lines. We need to start seeing Messiah. We need to start hearing Messiah. So when you look at each other, help. When you look at each other, are we seeing past each other? Are we seeing Daniel with a beard on a t-shirt and all that stuff? I mean, Dr. Vaden. Or are we seeing Messiah's heart? Are we beginning to see Nathaniel or Nathan as somebody that serves God and loves God? Are we seeing that spirit in Michelle? Are we just seeing Michelle coming after me with a cane or something? She's my niece, and she's always giving me a hard time for all of ever since I've known her. And so, but the fact is, are we seeing Michelle? Are we seeing a heart for God? When Jesus said, "You won't see me until you say, 'Blessed are you that comes in the name of the Lord,'" we have a hard time seeing past that person and seeing the Spirit of God. This is why the world is still anti-Semitic. It's because we have been told that the Jews killed Jesus. We haven't understood that Jesus said, "I give up my own life." There is no person responsible, because Messiah had to be the sacrifice as prophesied on the stake, that was not left overnight, so the land was not defiled. And when we see the natural things or the spiritual, adjective is relating to the spirit or soul as distinguished from the physical nature, a spiritual approach to life. That should be us. We should be walking in the nature of in the intrinsic nature, and we should see that our lives are spiritual. How many realize that you have a life that's spiritual? The Bible says you're grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. The Bible says you are His, that you have a spiritual life. And you are born again into that realm, that spiritual realm. Now you're still physical, but as we see a child, as the child grows up and matures, eventually it's potty trained. Eventually it's off the milk. Eventually it begins to walk and talk more and more like mom and dad. In the spiritual realm, we're immature, we're babies. We need to be potty trained. We need to be off the milk. And we need to be more like our dad, Messiah. And even Paul gets on our case and says, by now you should be so mature that you're teaching, you are expressing the witness, you're bearing the witness of God. But he says, but you're still on the milk, and therefore I'm going to still give you milk. So what he's saying is we're still immature, and we need to rise up and say, no way, Paul, we're ready for some carne asada tacos. I'm tired of Pablum tacos. Hey, what's this? Is Pablum? What's Pablum? Baby food. What's it doing to my taco? Well, you're still a baby. You're lucky you got a tortilla. Second Corinthians 3:18, and we all, as with unveiled face, we see as in a mirror of the esteem of Yahweh. You realize what he said? You look in the mirror and you see yourself, you know, with a pimple and a wart and all these things. But he's saying, see the esteemed of Yahweh, the spiritual concepts of our thinking. When we start thinking that way, our thinking is going to change. When you walk out of the house, you know, are you just another person late for work? You know, that's driving too fast, that didn't get all your makeup on and didn't get your armpits sprayed well enough, and you're going to work half-cocked or half-dressed, whatever? Or are you being transformed in the same likeness from the esteemed physical portion to the esteemed spiritual? As Paul says, from esteem to esteem, so from physical to spiritual, as far as Yahweh, as from Yahweh, the spiritual realm. Are we going to work that way? Are you going to church that way? Did you come into church today and greet somebody in the name of the Lord? Or did you just go, hey, how's it going, you ugly slob? You know? Because we're just humans. That wasn't for you, Nathan. So, but, you know, God has called us to have a tender heart, to see somebody and say, what's wrong? May I pray for you? I feel that, like the Spirit's telling me that you need some loving. You need some hurt, some realms that you're hurting from healed. And we care about one another. When you start caring with your family in your family gathering on Shabbat, guess what? Practice makes perfect. And so when you go out to the world that's not your family, you've already practiced. You already know how to see into the realms of the Spirit. And you know how you can bring healing and love and compassion and forgiveness to the world. Or you can be a nice little born-again Jew and not care about anybody. I know many Jews that don't want to go outside their synagogue. But I also know many Jews that we've met that are learning to recognize the spiritual nature of our God. And the Spirit has been shut down by the church and by Judaism for years. But the spiritual realms are what's coming back right now. I mean coming back. You know why? Because you brought the Spirit with you. There wasn't anything in this room. There's not a sweet spirit in this place. But there is a Spirit of God because you brought it. So look at somebody and say, thank you very much. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed. Do not be conformed. Look at everybody and say, do not be conformed. Encourage one another. Chew them out. Chastise one another. Do not be conformed to this world, the physical, but be ye transformed to the spiritual by the renewing, the renewed mind, so that you may prove what is good and what is well-pleasing and the perfect desire of Elohim. You know, it's not our goals. You know, and this is what's wrong with many pastors and evangelists, is we have this concept that I'm going to build the kingdom of God. Praise God. So we build our ministry, our churches, our names. But how many pastors don't care about their name or their churches? They just care about serving God. Not many, praise God. But there are 10,000 just like us. Praise God. And 1 Corinthians 15:46, however, that which is spiritual is not first. Remember the little child? But that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The physical has to come first. We have to learn to walk. We have to learn to be weaned off the breast. We have to walk in that physical areas. It's the same thing in the spirit. The physical came first, the spirit comes next. And when we begin to see what God's doing in the physical, God is going to do that in our spiritual walk. Praise God. And then we get, and it shall be on that day when God comes against the land of Israel, declares Yahweh the Master, that my wrath shall come up on my face. And verse 21, and I shall call for a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the Master Yahweh. And every teaching we have, as Russia, China, even Turkey, supporting the Islamic nations against Israel. But there is a spiritual concept of the realm of death and darkness coming to destroy the spiritual Israel. We see back here that they're coming against the physical land of Israel, Gog and Magog. What's happening to the spiritual Israel right now? Are you spiritual Israel? Yes. Is the spiritual attacks been happening to you? Amen. The realms of death are Gog and Magog. And all I'm saying is you don't have to buy anything I'm teaching. Don't believe anything I'm saying. Test all things. All I'm saying is there's a different way to look at the words and the scripture of God if we have a heart to ask God. Or we have a heart to say, no way, I ain't buying that. When you say no way, when you go up to somebody and you teach them about Sabbath and you teach them about the realms of walking in God's authority and they say no, they are rejecting God. But if somebody says, let me pray about it, that's all we want. Praise God. get us into that concept. There is a spiritual concept of the realms of death and darkness, which has been coming to destroy the spiritual concept of Israel. And the spiritual concept of Israel is who you are. And the realms of death that are attacking our freedom and our rights around the world is what God is sharing with me, is we're being attacked right now. And so moreover, it's called Hamonath, the burial place, will be the name of the city, and they will cleanse the land. And so God is saying that the realms of death are going to die, and that there's going to be a spiritual place for them, is in Hebrew called Hamonath. And we need to look at somebody and say, start seeing into the spiritual realms. Tell somebody, like that Don Francisco song, when God healed his daughter, he said, I got to tell somebody what Yeshua did for me. So praise God. And then Yahweh cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. If you believe in Messiah, you have access to God. You have the door to God if you have Messiah. So if you believe in the Messiah, we have access to God because they're one. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Can you see him? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I don't know how many more slides I got. For I say to you, from now on shall by no means see me until you say, look at somebody, say this, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And now say it in Hebrew. Baruch Abba Hashem Yahweh. Baruch Abba Hashem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And for and verse 39, because Jesus said, and then you'll see him. So we need to start seeing him in the bride and the authority of God. Amen. Praise God.